interview with Jerry Jewell, J-E-W-E-L-L, Little Rock, Arkansas, June 11th, 1974. Correction, June 12th, 1974.
I'm going to ask you first, could you just tell us a little bit about your own background, including your own involvement in politics?
Background-wise, I'm from Eastern Arkansas, and it's referred to as the Black Belt. And most southeastern states have their own Black Belt. The eastern part of Arkansas, which is along the Mississippi River, is the primary Black Belt for the state. I'm from Crittenden County.
Which county?
Crittenden County.
How do you spell that?
C-R-I-T-T-E-N-D-E-N. I went through grade school there in West Memphis and Marion, Arkansas, both of which are in Crittenden County, and high school in Shelby County, Tennessee, which is West Tennessee, the same county as Memphis is in, except that I was in a training school outside of the city limits. And then from there, of course, I spent 4 years at Arkansas AM&N, which is now University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff, with a BS degree in what we call, or was referred to then as pre-med or pre-dom. And from there, I was admitted to Meharry Medical College, School of Dentistry. School of Dentistry in 1953. 4 years there, I graduated 1957, June. Then 2 years in Armed Forces, since my local board had been kind enough to let me finish my dental training. 2 years in Armed Forces as a dental officer. And then from there, into Little Rock. Another statement of my background, of course, is that my parents primarily were farmers and laborers. And that's basically my background, work-wise and employment-wise, during my high school and college days. Except for the period I spent in the Midwest working in automobile factory, General Motors, and then a chemical plant in Cleveland, Ohio. As far as the political side or the social side of social advancement side of my...
Let me just ask you just a little bit more background. How large a family do you have, brothers and sisters?
There were born to my parents 5 boys and girls. Only 2 of us, of course, survived. As you know, at that time, and even still now in large measure, Eastern Arkansas is somewhat like in medical-wise, preparedness, that is, in that I was delivered by a midwife. But I have a sister who still lives. There were 2 boys. One was a twin, the other, of course, was a stillbirth. And the twin boy and twin girl, of course, lived about 2 weeks. My sister is a college graduate from the same university that I finished at Pine Bluff. And of course, she has also a master's degree in education. She's employed now by the Little Rock school system, which is one of the reasons why I came back to Arkansas after finishing my tour of service. And she is one of 2 persons certified by the Little Rock school system and by the Arkansas education system, or education board, as teacher trainer for the school system of Little Rock. She serves on the Arkansas Education Commission, to which I had the good fortune of recommending her to. She's married, has 3 children, 1 a college graduate, the other in junior college, and another one in senior high school.
And your parents were basically tenant farmers?
I was born on a plantation owned by a white gentleman. Several thousand acres of land he owned. My father did basically sharecropping at that time until we left the farm and went to a place called West Memphis, which is somewhat an infamous name. That was basically the surrounding which I had to grow up, at least through 7 years of my life, early life. Then even after we moved to West Memphis, we still did the farm work by coming back to the farm because it's all ready to go. My father spent about 37 years, one of the reasons why he left the farm, of course, was to work in an oil mill. And I don't know if you, well, in North Carolina you wouldn't have too much cotton, really. But since you're in the textile industry primarily, but he worked in an oil mill in West Memphis and in Memphis, dating back to 1936, I believe. He just retired last year at the age of about 66, after about 37, 38 years of oil mill work.
Just cotton oil?
Cotton oil mill. So really, that's all he know. Of course, now he's back farming 8 acres of land that is owned by my mother's, on my mother's side of the family. So he's worked for himself on family land now. Going full blast, as if he had about 10 more kids to educate. But
how much education did your parents receive?
My mother taught school for a short period. She had something less than a high school education. My father has no education. Maybe first, second grade. He said he would sign his name. That's about the extent of it. He's a very strong-willed person, very determined person. Has a hell of a lot of vision, but one's vision is usually limited by one's education. In this case, his education being limited. When I say limited, limited in the sense as to how to accomplish what he might envision. My mother, of course, is the brain of the family, and that she managed the small sum of money that my father was able to earn and bring home. And as a result, put my sister and I through college and med school without working.
And you came back to Little Rock, what year?
I came out of service in 59. I came in 59 in July.
Okay. And then what?
Well, since being in Little Rock, and in fact, prior to coming to Little Rock, I've always, even going back to high school days, I remember a gentleman came to me once. I was about 11th or 12th grade. He wanted me to do some basic field work for NAACP as a recruiter, gain memberships, to secure memberships, and distribute literature as related to NAACP's involvement in education, economics, and what have you. The high school that I attended at that time was Shelby County Training School, and had as its principal a gentleman by the name of Mr. R.J. Roddy, who was from the hills of East Tennessee, Rockwood. Good man. Man with solid convictions and a view toward improving people, black and white people, more especially black people since it's a black school at that time. And Mr. Roddy, of course, gave the gentleman the permission to talk to me. And he did, and I did the best that I could.
The principal was white or black?
Principal was black. So that was really my indoctrination into the area of social awareness, social environments, social advancement, both educationally and economically. Then from there to college, where I was involved in several projects to improve, to make blacks more aware of what's available to them. But then after coming here out of service and having spent 2 years in the dental corps, even though I was a professional in the dental corps, I had problems being your own man, or what we usually refer to as, quote, my own man, unquote. To stay aloof of or avoid becoming a part of any type of cliche in order to enjoy some of the pleasant things that the other boys would enjoy. I was on the post where there were about 45 dentists, two black. The white fellows would range anywhere from the southern portion of the country to the northern portion of the west to east. They were everything, Jews, Episcopalians, Presbyterians, you name it. But I ran into constant problems in doing my thing as a professional and being respected on a professional basis. I ran into about five of those 45 persons, about five or six real men, or what I would refer to as real men. One young man was named Henry Tesser, Jewish boy out of the East, a very thorough individual, a gentleman, one of solid conviction. Had another fellow from Illinois, Protestant white boy, who was very, very thorough, who was very, very down to earth, and who was complete in his participation, whatever it might be. So I did run into some good men while I was there. But all in all, it sharpened my awareness of what was going on and the change that was taking place and the change that needed to take place even then. Of course, you know, that was during the time when Sputnik was in the air and all that kind of stuff. But after I come to Little Rock, aside from my practice, which afforded me the opportunity to engage in some of these things that otherwise I would not be able to engage in, I became overly involved in the social awareness community. The NAACP being my primary area of involvement, but also being associated and participating at one time or another with the Urban League, the Arkansas Council of Relation, Council of Community Affairs, junior deputies, the EOA, in fact I served on the Community Action Agency board for about 4.5 years, serving as personnel committee for about 2 years. Had a significant hand in determining the type or the quality of persons that were employed to carry out the mandate of the poverty program, which was of course derived from the 64 Civil Rights Law. But from that, then to other things. But that's basically my background up to the time I came to Little Rock, and the first 3 years since being in Little Rock. And of course, since then, somewhere between 59, 60, and 65, I came to this conclusion that, the scientists developed the law, the Ohm's law, all or nothing law, I believe it is, if I recall in my science, that either an individual becomes involved in something with the sole purpose of advancing mankind, all humanity, else you get out of it. Or to put it in a different way, if I'm involved in something, then it has to be for a total improvement. And that even though I might irritate some persons, the irritation by me would not be toward doing anything harmful toward those persons in particular, but what I could do to advance the toll cost of John Q. Puppet, that's the average person who's on the street. Then I said, well, with my profession and with the support that I have patient-wise, I can afford to do this with the least amount of negative response by those powers that would be opposed to it. And as a result, I involved myself as an NAACP locally and statewide. Held the state NAACP president for about 7 years and the local NAACP for about 4 years. And during that period, of course, was a time shortly before and after the 64 Civil Rights Law when things were extremely acute in the sense that no one really knew what tomorrow would bring. But I felt that regardless of what might occur, that the result was worth the involvement or the opportunities provided are open toward or open for people, particularly young people, and particularly black young people would be worth the involvement or whatever effect it might cause on me by my participation. And I think probably the record shows that I was right, or those persons that I was associated, I had the fortune of being associated with, were right in working for fostering the whole idea of change.
What have been the biggest changes politically since 1959?
Politically, you've had blacks who have involved themselves, who have attempted to involve themselves politically at the grassroots level, at the county level, which is really where the action is, the nitty-gritty of it. You can involve yourself to the extent of having positions or acquiring positions that will demand some respectability. At the same time, you'll be able to carry out what really is the mandate of the total political party, whichever party it might be, in this case, the Republican Party. I mean, Democratic Party. But it gives you an opportunity to really participate and to assure all those other persons who might come in that politics can be good.
Did you see a significant number of blacks getting involved in Democratic politics during that period, say the last 15 years?
I say the last 15 years you've had a number of blacks to expose themselves at to varying degrees in the political process.
They've been successful.
Some have, most have not. You have to realize that Arkansas, of course, is probably the poorest state, or one of the poorest states, in terms of political acumen, that we're probably one of the least of the states. As far as black involvement in politics, we're probably near the bottom as well.
Why is that?
Number one, we just have not availed ourselves of even the opportunity to participate when the opportunity was there, was afforded us. And all too often, we say, well, why do it anyway? They are going to do it the way they want to do it. But I fail to realize that numbers can make a change, the vote can make a change if the vote is significant enough numerically to effectuate a change. So they tend to say, well, don't bother, leave it alone, and let the dog continue to sleep. This is unfortunate. It's an erroneous position for them to take, but they have taken it, or we have taken it. And until we change, we won't have the type of political environment that we should have in politics. And when I say that, I'm talking about running for statewide office, you know. In the sense that one would hope would have some chance of winning a statewide office, not just for the sake of running for our statewide office.
How far away do you think that day is when a black would run for statewide office?
Oh, wow. Well, I would say within the next 2 years, most certainly. If a black would make up his mind now to run for a statewide office in 76, he can run and run a very credible race, I would think, for office. But he would have to be a black who had first a sense of conviction to some high degree. He would have to be a black who was able to communicate, who had a program, who was concerned about people. He would have to be a black who had at that time, or who has now, a track record in this whole field of human advancement, rather than someone who is selected by the white majority, put into the race, and then, of course, controlled during the election or during the campaign, as well as afterwards if he's successful. I would hope for the day, in another, say, 2 to 4 years, that we would have black running for the U.S. Congress. We have blacks who are qualified academically now, and perhaps some who are qualified politically now, but who have not thrust themselves forward to that level, to that degree, to become involved in national politics.
Do you think the state is ready?
Well, when it comes to that sort of response area of question, my position has always been is that nobody's ready for anything until you actually seek the office. If we waited for the state to get ready, then we'd be waiting until maybe year 2000. So I would say that it's the individual's responsibility, or would be the individual's responsibility, seeking whatever office it might be, to convince those, the voting population, that my name is John Doe, I'm running for office, I want to be your U.S. Congressman or your U.S. Senator from this district or from the state of Arkansas. I think that perhaps my qualifications are adequate to give you the type of representation you should have. I most certainly have the conviction and the desire to serve you, some of this sort, and really sell this program to him. Even though usually whites vote for whites, and a lot of blacks vote for whites just because he's white, I still think that an individual who might run for office, well, the human mind plays, does wonders, you know. I still think an individual could run for office if I was and come to you for support, even though you may be totally opposed to my candidacy. It's a matter of my being able to communicate with you or gain your ear. Now, whether I'm able to do it or not, another question. And then to give to you, get over you my total program, and ask you for support. But I think today, if we wait for one to get ready or for the state to get ready, it never happened. The individual has to cause it to happen.
Going back again 10 years ago, from the, in the last 10 years, just sort of, what was your progress in that period? I mean, what were you doing?
During that time?
Yeah, you know, 64, 66, 68.
Politically. Well, I'd have to add the political and I'd have to add to that civil rights movement.
Right.
I led the march on Washington from Arkansas. I was, at that time, president of the Little Rock branch only. Yeah, president of the Little Rock branch at the time. I had not...
It's NAACP branch.
NAACP. And I think I may have been in my first year as state conference president. I'm not sure. But I led the march on Washington. So I had a fairly good conception of what the 64 Civil Rights Act was all about, even much before it was signed into law. Since then, of course, my, doing say 65, 66, up through maybe about 70, my main thrust was to try to educate those persons that I had contact with. And we have branches in about 35 counties to motivate them to the point of keeping these branches active and to avail themselves of information that's available in all these areas, education, economics, entrepreneurship by minorities or minority-oriented group, to cause them to advance themselves in whatever local community. And also to get over to my idea that whatever happened in the community is going to be determined really by those persons who live in that community rather than by a person who comes from another community over there. I can only inform them of what's available. But that plus my involvement here locally, for instance, blacks were not allowed in the Dental Association. And I thought it was an insult really to an individual came to the state, took the state board, and still couldn't become a part of the American Dental Association or its subunits. I participated in that change.
Did you bring suit, or?
Well, just threat of suit, really, that's all it was. Men are men, and usually men that at a certain level, education-wise, should be able to afford some degree of reasoning, and this way we were able to solve that.
How about voter registration?
Voter registration, NAACP, participated in it over the years along with other organizations. We have been able to state, I'm talking about NAACP, Urban League, Arkansas County Relation, local group, Arkansas Voters Association, have been able to increase the registration of blacks. And we now exceed something over something like 100,000 voters. registered vote. And these persons can really determine the election. The recent election race between four Brighton Bumpers, although it didn't go the way I wanted to go, was an indication of what really could happen voter-wise. The election about four years ago, when Rockefeller first ran for office, is a good example of what could happen where you have a significant registration going on. So with voter registration, with the advent of added participation by blacks in the political arena, has caused some change.
You're not still president of the NAACP State?
No, I'm not. I've been out of that now going on 2 years because of the state office that I hold.
And when was the first time you ran for office?
I ran for the Arkansas Constitutional Convention about 4 years ago. Of course, I failed in that. An old gentleman by the name of Mr. Cantherell, who was an old Rock family, of course, he was up in age. Family name killed me. And we were running, of course, countywide, citywide, countywide, I believe it was. And I lost that election to him. So that Constitutional Convention, I believe, was either in 68 or 70, I'm not sure. And then the next office I ran for public office was for the state senate.
What year was that?
72.
Is that a single member district?
Yeah. You know, we reapportioned Arkansas in 71, I believe it was. And every senatorial district is a single member district. But not every House representative district is a single member district. We have several areas where we have multi-member districts in the House of Representatives. And my particular senatorial district is one example, in that the representatives, or the representative district, is not broken down. So from this district, we have three representatives. In Arkansas, the population for an area would have to be something like about 51 to 55, something like that. Population, I think, in my district is about 54,000 people. It qualifies for one senator and three representatives. This is referred to as District 3.
Are you the only black senator in the Senate?
Unfortunately, yes.
And how many blacks are representatives?
There are three.
Three. And all from this same district?
No, two from this district and one from Pine Bluff.
Yeah. Are you the first black to serve in the state senate?
The first black to serve in the Senate since 1870.
What
did it turn out the way you thought it would? Your perceptions of what it was going to be like when you got there? Did it turn out to be that way?
My being in the
Senate.
Well,
you're just the way you reacted
to
being in the Senate.
Yeah, let me ask you a question about the race itself. What percentage black population?
This district is about 60-40 black-white. Voter registration-wise, about 50-50, I imagine.
And you ran against an opponent?
I ran against an opponent in the general election.
Was he an incumbent?
No. Under redistricting plan, and of course you always have this redistricting after every 2 years, census. My opponent was not an incumbent. In fact, the gentleman that was really the senator from this area moved to Jacksonville about a year before that. Of course, he's in North Bassett County now, so this district was without an incumbent.
But you ran against a white opponent?
No, I ran against a black opponent.
Black opponent.
From the Republican Party in the November election.
And how did it come
out? Oh, I beat him about 2-1, I believe it was.
Were you active in the Rockefeller movement?
No, I was not.
Or how about in in 64? Were you supporting Rockefeller or Baldwin?
I wasn't supporting either candidate, although I voted for Rockefeller when he ran against the governor.
And how about in 66, 68, 70?
All right, now, in 66 was when Rockefeller won the first time, I believe.
Right.
He lost to Baldwin in 64.
Right. Won against Jim Johnson.
Yeah. He won against what? You want to get sent down in 66, I think.
Right.
All right, I voted for Rockefeller in 64. I voted for him in 66. I voted for him in 68, I believe it was. He won two terms. Yeah. I did not vote for him in 70 when he ran against the Democratic, or the Democratic, Bumpus, I believe it was, right? But I was not a Rockefeller supporter in the sense of participating in the Republican Party.
Were many blacks, we understand many blacks were. He brought many blacks into the Republican Party at that time, during that period.
There were a very significant number, really, a significant number of blacks who went to the Republican Party as participants over the state. And I'm not sure, based on the conditions now that exist, I'm not sure if it was the case of that. Supporting Rockefeller, following the Rockefeller image or the name, if it was really sincere their interest or involvement in the Republican Party. Based on the last election, it would seem to be the former, their interest really in just giving support to Mr. Rockefeller rather than involvement in the Republican Party. Because most of those persons now are in the Democratic Party.
Can we go back to your experiences in the Senate? You were the first black to be there. Now, did it turn out the way you thought it was going to turn out, both as a senator and as a black?
Well, let's see, how can I answer that? Having been a farm boy and worked in the fields, called here from the other man, it really doesn't matter or bother me how an individual responds to my presence or lack of presence. I had no problems in the Senate as to whether or not I'd been accepted or not accepted. In fact, I really didn't give a damn whether they accept me or not. It's just that I had a responsibility to represent those persons who had elected me to the Senate from this district. There were men, of course, and more specifically, more pointedly answering your question, there were men who were not as congenial as perhaps a could have been, or that I thought they could have been. But otherwise, as to outright objection to what happened to me, I had no problem at all. I don't know if it was a case of my having been involved in NAACP work over the state, and, that they laid off me or what, but I really had no problems in that sense. I was able to participate in the deliberations. I had trouble with some of the bills, of course, as most of them did. One bill in particular, that was sponsored jointly by the House and the Senate, by the blacks in the House and Senate, was a human resource bill, just a nice bill, a civil rights bill, that I had difficulty in getting support from a majority of the Senate in order to get it through. In fact, they put me off to the last week, which I thought was a damn insult, but I couldn't fight that. They had to vote. So it could have been a case that maybe we did not do our homework as we should have and been ready to begin the race when the President Pro Tem and the, the Speaker of the House as well as the Lieutenant Governor of the Senate would say, well, Father Gunn, you're off your race. We should have been ready then. And perhaps we were not completely ready. And maybe the fact that this being our first term was not reason enough for not being ready. I would hope that when the session starts in January next year, that we'll have all our guns cocked and ready. And it'd be a matter of giving and take. We may support that legislation if it's good legislation, and we'll hope they'll support ours.
That bill failed to pass, though, is that right? The bill failed to pass.
It failed to pass, right.
There is no Human Rights or Civil Rights Commission in the state, is
there? No, we do not.
Did you get the committee assignments you wanted?
I asked for education. I also asked for banking and commerce. Insurance and commerce commission, I believe it is. Insurance and commerce, yeah. I got the education committee assignment, but I did not get the other committee assignment. I'm assigned to the legislative affairs. That's the catch-all committee. That's for the hams, for those who just started. So maybe that's a part of my indoctrination. Of course, the education committee, the reason for being in that is obvious. But in the other area of insurance and commerce, it's really one of the committees where the action really takes place. and that it has a lot to do with the laws, what have you, that are passed, that are put up for due pass, what have you, that will relate to that industry. Mostly it will come under commercial. Here we're talking about jobs, business, firms, industry, what have you. And I did get that committee assignment. I wish I had. The Senate was, my having served in the Senate was a complete a revelation of something that I thought that I didn't anticipate, to put it that way. I thought my having participated in NAACP for 10 years, 15 years, was sufficient, that I would know everything I'd come in contact with. But it wasn't quite that case, in that as far as parliamentary procedure is concerned, no problem there. But in terms of what really, really happens when you start talking about budget and a dollar, examining the budgets of agencies and the departments and what have you, when you're talking about planning ahead as to what you'll use for the next biennium or what have you, for the education or for commerce or what have you, then it's a different ball game. And it's one that's very intriguing. It's one that I would wish or hope for any young man in politics or out of politics have experience of going through. I enjoyed it, and I think as a result of having been associated, I've grown some. Perhaps my vision has been broad and increased as a result of that. But the Education Committee assignment I did enjoy. I was able to participate in, say, as well as co-sponsor, kindergarten bill, the income tax relief bill for families of, say, $4,000 to $5,000 or less, three with $4,500 or less, two with $4,000 or less, and all down. Had the opportunity to deliberate and discuss in the Education Committee, as well as help co-sponsor textbook bill, free textbook bill for kids. How about a kid can go to school regardless of what his home life might be like economically. Go to school and have an equal chance with an affluent child of getting an education, and that he has his textbooks and materials made available to him free charge. And that's a big
reason. Is Arkansas the last state to provide free textbooks?
Probably one of the last, I imagine.
Is there a statewide black political leadership or organization? Political, that's strictly political.
Not really, except that what we are trying to do, or that we did try to do, and we're going to try to improve on this year. What we would hope to do is to utilize our offices, our office. And we would be the pawns in this case.
You mean your legislative office?
Right. And we would be the party in that we would be the one really acting as servants of the people. And that the four state elected officials would assume the responsibility of developing the nucleus or serving as the nucleus of bringing together all elected officials from the various counties, wherever it might be, down to the Justice of Peace, into one political unit. And as a result of this, we'd be able to wield some type of positive force and gain those things that we would want in education.
But as of yet, you don't have an association of black public elected officers.
We don't have an association, although I am chairman of what we call the black legislative membership in the House.
But you do plan to.
And
you are trying to expand that into a statewide association of black
elected
officials.
Right, our elected officials.
Georgia has one,
right?
Probably aware of it. Are you thinking of one similar in terms, similar to the one in Georgia?
Well, I'm not too familiar as to the detail or the content of what makes up the Georgia thing. It might quite possibly be that we'll be similar to them. I don't know. But what we would envision is a loose-knit thing, whereby an individual would not have to lose his identity. This is one of the bugs that most of them are concerned about. The loss of identity, but they would not have to lose their identity, just that they would come together with us, or we would come together with them in order to develop programs that would affect all of us over the state, and use our resource and our strength, our combined strength, in order to gain these things.
How many black elected officials are there?
In the state of Arkansas, yeah. I don't know, I imagine about maybe a couple hundred or something like that, including the Justice of Peace.
Mm-hmm. That includes the city offices as well.
City offices, right, all together. So, you know, we have about four or five black mayors in black cities, so to speak. Minute Fee, Cotton Plant, Mitchellville, one other place out of Lono County, about five, I believe it is. But when you start naming Justice and Peace, the list is endless almost. We have persons on board of directors here in Little Rock, we have the vice mayor of the city is black, and there's another black as well on the board of directors. We have other persons who are elected to office in Pine Bluff, Texarkana, Fort Smith, I believe. So these persons can come in and participate and at the same time maintain their own individual thing in their own community.
Any of the elected officials in Arkansas, black elected officials, Republicans?
Are there any prominent black leaders still left in the Republican organization since Rockefeller's in 70? Or have they all pretty much moved back into the Democratic Party?
Well, those persons who were supporters, strong supporters of Mr. Rockefeller are still here. And
but are they still identified with the Republican Party?
I really couldn't say, because this year you really had no significant participation and involvement by blacks in the Republican Party, that is by blacks with any degree of credibility about them at all. We didn't have any significant involvement. In fact, you had no blacks from the Republican Party participating in any of the primary, even though all three House seats of this district were up. No blacks within the Republican Party challenging anywhere else in the state that I know of. The black Democratic legislator off of Pine Bluff was not challenged by a black Republican. So I don't know if that's saying anything, if anything can be read from that or not. But
you mean that the black incumbent legislators, Democrats, they're all Democrats, right? Have no Republican opposition in the general election?
No.
Any additional blacks nominated in the Democratic primary for the legislature this year?
No.
So it'll be the same four back next year.
Didn't anybody challenge? Weren't there any blacks challenging anybody else?
Yeah, in the Republican, the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
Yes.
They all lose?
All the challenges lost.
And were they challenging all whites?
There's one white, of course, not from the district. We have a thing, saying now that, you know, even though we are predominantly black, we're not, that is, registration-wise, we're not all black in our representation. And let's just say to the rest of the state, the rest of the district, that why don't you send a black to your district, but you may be predominantly white. The one white gentleman from our district is a very intelligent young man. In fact, he's a college professor. He has some opposition. In fact, there's another gentleman who teaches at the same university he does, both at ULR. And his black opposition, one of them was a gentleman who has a PhD degree in mathematics, gave him a heck of a good raise. But he survived both his opposition and that of a third party.
Is this district pretty well gerrymandered?
I don't know if you can say it's gerrymandered or not, because it's not, you don't have a case where you come down and make a U and a V and all that kind of thing like that. In my profession, you always bother with, what do you call them, riders, I guess. I'm the type of guy that leans, that takes a sucker punch, you know. And a person comes to me and gives me a sob story. I have a lady now who wants me to co-sign for her. And I can't co-sign for her because I'm involved with the federal loan from the government, a part of this project over here. And I sign for that, I'm in violation of my agreement with the federal government, EDA, the Economic Development Administration. And she wanted to go sign for it. She wanted strong will there. She wanted about 250. So I guess she figured if I come into her presence, I won't tell her no. So I told my girl to let her go. That's all. Go ahead, I'm sorry. It's just a satellite.
Just a housing development?
No, no. Let me explain this to you. My corporation is known as All Incorporated. This is the headquarters. That's a picture of the building we're doing. We will be the probably the first black-oriented group anywhere in the country. When I say black-oriented, whites are a part of us. And we invite no whites in, but we're probably the first black-oriented group anywhere in the country to put up a first-class motel with a national franchise with the use of both federal and private sector money. Of course, this was made possible through the complete response and help, especially by Mr. Willie Mills, which is our congressman from this district, as well as the two senators, Mr. Fulbright and Mr. McClellan, but more especially Mr. Mills. We'll have a national chain here, and we run a first-class business.
What chain would it be?
The Ray Company and Master Host Ray Company.
What's the name of the company?
All Inc. A-L-L. Doesn't mean anything. Just a simple name. All Inc. 154 rooms we have there. Meeting facilities and bar and all this other thing. Everything is complete. Yeah, sorry. Just thought I'd make mention to you.
Forgot my question.
I forgot it too.